Beyond the headlines, this is World Insight.
On today's World Insight, advanced tech like artificial intelligence, boon for pharma companies like Takeda. Takeda President and CEO Christopher Weber tells us how AI makes a difference in high-tech drug research and production. French cosmetics company L'Oréal, the world's largest with a presence in China for over 24 years. A recent talk with L'Oréal CEO Nicolas Hieronymus on the company's growth strategy. And how does a company catering to global supply chains manage uncertainties? The CEO and chairman of Piraeus with answers.
Hello, I'm Tian Wei, and welcome to World Insight. We are continuing today a special series of interviews with global business leaders. It's about how business leaders adapt to a rapidly changing world. Tech advances benefit many industries. One of them is healthcare. By tapping into new technologies such as artificial intelligence, companies are able to roll out new products, some of them life-changing treatments. Pharmaceutical giant Takeda is one of the companies exploring tech potentials, especially on rare diseases. I had a talk with Christopher Weber, the president and CEO of Takeda. One of the things is about artificial intelligence these days. We are all thinking about how it's likely to be applied to the current industry that you're working on, and what does that mean to many of those who are looking for solutions from you?
Yeah, it's a great time in terms of technology. It's artificial intelligence, but there are also other technology which are converging at the same time, for example, image recognition. Mm. So it is completely transforming our industry, the way we do research, development, manufacturing, the way we interact with doctor, patient. This is changing, and the way we do things will completely be transformed in the next 3 years. So a huge opportunity, but a significant transformation. And it's also changing healthcare, the way healthcare is managed. AI and data will really transform healthcare.
How is it?
Well, you know, for many, many decades, every country has struggled to have robust patient data. Many countries try to develop electronic patient record without too much success. But the data now is much more mature to be able to have so much more data on the patient. And now with AI, you can analyze this data and draw some conclusion. So I think that this technology will help build more efficient healthcare systems, which the world needs to contain the cost of the healthcare system.
Talking about healthcare, we see China is trying to upgrade its healthcare system. There's a dynamic discussion going on right now. How do you see your role there?
I mean, first, I would say that China, since 2015, has been driving a transformation which has been amazing. That allowed us to bring 15 new medicines in the last 5 years to the Chinese patient. That was completely impossible before 2015. But there's still more to do to have the best healthcare systems in the world. But I'm really encouraged by listening to the government thought about the next steps, because it's really a very high priority for them.
We see a lot of innovation cooperation you're having with both the Chinese companies and also with the global ones. So tell me more about your experiences and the areas that you are eager to cooperate on.
We are looking at partners for bringing new medicines to China, but we are also looking at partners to help Chinese biotech to bring their medicines to the world, because it's very hard for biotech to do that. Mm. And actually, recently, we did a partnership with a Chinese biotech, and we were able to get their product approved in the United States.
Mm. What kind of product?
It's a cancer product, a product treating colorectal cancer, which is very innovative. And we brought that product to the US, and we are now waiting for approval in Europe and Japan. So this is a two-way partnership.
And you are the bridge?
Yeah, you are the bridge, yeah.
Is that through acquisition or is it through patent buying?
It's a partnership. In this case, it's in licensing partnership. the Chinese company will still be in charge of the activity in China, but will bring the medicine outside of China.
You are cooperating with Chinese teams as well on the research side, and you're also working around the world, bringing the best talents together. How does that work? Because these days, the biggest competition is about the talents, isn't it?
I think we attract talent by being at the forefront of innovation of the science. That's what is exciting for a researcher. We also attract talent because we have a very strong ethical values. In healthcare, we believe you need to do always the right thing. Mm. We are a business, but you need to have very high ethical standards. And I think this is actually very important for all our colleagues. Mm. When we ask them in employee survey what differentiates Takeda from other companies, our values always come first.
Mm. You're a global company, so I have to say that it is a reality that geopolitics sometimes has an impact on businesses, recently particularly on innovation. So how do you handle the divide we are seeing in this world, especially about innovation, about research of science and technology, even though health and also pharmaceutical areas should be the least being impacted, but unfortunately it is still the case.
I really hope that healthcare, pharmaceutical, but also potentially other players in the healthcare sectors would be the last sector brought into the geopolitical tension. That's my plea to all politicians. Keep health outside of the geopolitical tension, because to discover, develop a new medicines targeting a rare disease is not cheaper. It's not cheaper than developing medicines for a very prevalent disease. Manufacturing cost is higher as well. So that makes the price of medicines treating rare disease higher. But that's why we need a very good insurance system. Because even if the price per patient is higher, the number of patients is very low, it's a rare disease. So the actual total cost for the healthcare system tend to be quite low.
Mm.
Huge progress in terms of the insurance system in China, but there are still some gaps. The out-of-pocket remain quite high in China. The link between public insurance and private insurance can still be improved. So that's the type of discussion we are having with officials.
Your company is celebrating important anniversaries here in China.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Also globally.
Yes, yeah.
So it is a tremendous opportunity for me to ask you, how is it like as a French national to work in a global company where originally was coming from Japan, and you have your employees and workers and also colleagues from all over the world?
Yeah, it's we are a big family. the way I see it is that we are a big family across the world. We are one, if not the oldest pharmaceutical company in the world. And we were created in 1781, but we are very innovative, very modern. We are celebrating our 30th anniversary in China. And everything we do is to bring innovation and think long term. I mean, my goal is for the company to be successful in the next 100 years. And I think all the 55,000 colleagues of Takeda across the world, we are all animated with this mission to bring innovative, life-transforming medicines to the patient. That's really motivating and really exciting.
Yeah. Final question. As a business leader, compared to 20 years ago, you are experiencing something much more challenging. So how would you describe this current stage for you as a business leader? What do you think are the best ways out?
It's a great question. I think that we need more dialogue between countries which are experiencing this disagreement and tension.
You are saying this not as a political cliche, right?
No. It's really, it should be very specific dialogue. So take healthcare, to what should be done in order to continue to have collaboration between countries. So I think you can have, I think we should be very specific. There are some areas where countries cannot agree, but there should be some areas where a country can agree. And healthcare should be one of those, because if health is taken into this geopolitical tension, it's a lose-lose for everyone. So I think it's really important to determine which areas we want to still collaborate. And okay, some areas we cannot, because this is what it is. Healthcare should be an area where we continue collaboration. Nobody has anything to win by having healthcare starting to be part of geopolitical bifurcation.
Christophe, I think your message is very clear. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for
very
that.
Much. Thank you.
Beyond the headlines, this is World Insight.
This year marks the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations between China and France. French companies are active players through years of China's reform and opening up. One of them is L'Oréal, the world's largest cosmetic company, which has been in the Chinese market for more than 26 years. Here's my latest talk with Nicolas Hieronymus, the CEO of L'Oréal.
Well, first of all, I must say that I'm very excited to be here as a CEO for the first time. And it's the year of the 60th anniversary of French and Chinese relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's great for L'Oréal Olaya to be here. And I must say I was very inspired and energized by Premier Li's speech, because it confirms that China is a great supersized market with a fantastic potential, but more importantly, that it continues to transform, to reform, to open up, mm-hmm. and to support the economy in a very high quality development direction. So mm-hmm. it's very positive and very aligned with L'Oréal's vision.
You have been working a lot on new technologies and its applications worldwide, in the China market particularly. Tell us more as to how much this transformation is taking place in your industry, and what are your approaches?
Well, you know, we know that beauty is very important for humanity, but beauty has to be augmented by technology, because it allows every consumer to have a personalized beauty product, mm-hmm. personalized recommendation. So that's why we've transformed into a beauty tech. And China, the Chinese ecosystem, plays a very important role in that domain, whether it's through partnerships with the with Chinese startups like Zuvi on our hair dryer that's about to be launched, Ally Pro. But also technology inside our formulas, because we work very hard with our labs to make sure that our formulas are even more sustainable, green, and that's very aligned with Premier Li's vision of green transformation. Mm-hmm. So new technology, sustainability are at the heart of the L'Oréal transformation, mm-hmm. as we are the leaders of this industry mm-hmm. in China. We are the number one, but in the world also. We have to lead the way, and that's what we're trying to do.
Congratulations on that. Compared to the very beginning of China's reform and opening up, now we are at a very different stage. I see, to put it diplomatically, there is a renewed process of understanding China and its relations with the West, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So how do you understand this current transformation? What is a business as seasoned as you are, business person, strategies and visions at this point?
Well, you know, I must say that I understand that for some companies this might be new, but for L'Oréal, we've been in China for 26 years with Chinese leaders in our business, and we've always felt the support of the authorities, of the Shanghai authorities, of the Chinese government. So for us, doing in business in China has always been very stimulating, because mm-hmm. it's a demanding market. But so we welcome the continuation of this reform. In fact, it's a continuation. It's the continuous development of China. And for us, it's a long history. We've been there for 26 years, and I guess we'll be there for the next century. Mm.
And a long history also for China and France. This year's 60th anniversary, business community also contributes so much. How do you see this stage of China-France from a business perspective? How much do you see these very diversified political relations mean for business community?
Well, you know, I'm very happy to be celebrating the 60th anniversary. As I told you, 60 years ago, the first country in the world to recognize the new Republic of China was mm-hmm. France, and the envoy of France was part of the founding family of L'Oréal, which shows the strength of the ties between our company and China. And for me, it's very important that France and China have this very strong relationship, because we are two very strong civilizations, two strong economies, and for L'Oréal, as the emblem of French beauty in China, being part of this celebration, which will bring Notre Dame exhibition to Paris. We have some limited editions with Chinese artisans and many more to come. So it will be, I think, a great year of celebration and hopefully a good year of business too.
This is World Insights, still to come. How does a global company catering to global supply chains manage uncertainties? The CEO and chairman of Yehiyas with answers next.
Beyond the headlines, this is World Insight.
The Yehiyas Group is a German company with business covering the environment, electronics, health and industrial applications. It's deeply embedded in global supply chains. As a family business, how has it weathered the storms and managed to harvest throughout decades? My talk with Ron Reinert, the CEO and chairman of Yehiyas Board of Managing Directors. Take a listen. Mr. Chairman, good to see you again.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to see you.
You are working on so many of these front lines. Last year, I remember talking to you. You were very low key. But through my observations throughout this year, I think the conclusion I can draw is this guy has figured it out.
Well,
on many fronts.
Thank you very much.
And you are prepared early. Mm. So tell us about how these new technologies are becoming already a great realities of both your global supply chains and also of your management styles, which need to be catering to the latest change in technologies.
Let's talk first about leadership styles.
Let's do that.
I very much believe that empowerment is very important for the people. So I do not know anything better than my experts and my team members in their areas of responsibility. Yeah. What I can do, I can orchestrate an organization. I can help an organization really to embrace new opportunities and identify those opportunities and execute accordingly.
How would you help them to identify? I mean, that is the most difficult part.
Constant communication, 360 degrees communication. So I very much believe that skip-level meetings are important, that you talk to your people, that you are approachable, that you encourage people to speak up. And come up with their ideas. At the end of the day, the more people you can activate, to really add to this creativity process, the better it is. Mm-hmm. And we do this around the world. And of course, we need very talented people with academia background and expertise in material science and chemistry and physics and so on. And when you can motivate those people to make a contribution very early in their career, I think that's very encouraging. That's why our claim is also in this regard is open space for open minds. Mm. When we are close with our customers, when we do open communication and open innovation together with our respective partners in the respective market. That's why we have R&D centers here in the country. We want to innovate here because here is the market. Mm. Here we can learn from our customers. Here we can learn from where the unmet needs of our customers really are and where's the opportunity.
How is the R&D center working here already? What are some of the latest development of that can contribute to your even global operations?
Well, we very much believe when we innovate here in China, we also manufacture here in China, and we sell in China. Mm. So in China, for China. That's our core belief. That's why we are continuously investing here, also in new production. I think currently we're building 5 new sites, production facilities here in the country. We are opening a new facility and a new R&D center here in China, in Shanghai, for materials for electronic and semiconductor applications. So we need to be there in order to really make a contribution and make a difference. And with this, I think we, step by step, in all humbleness, with our focused approach, I think we can help our customers, for example, in areas like e-mobility and communication and other topics. So I think that makes a difference.
Can you give me a specific examples?
Well, for example, packaging and semiconductor is an important topic. Front end, back end, there are multiple applications. All these are material based. I very much believe, for example, also in silicon carbide. Mm-hmm. And we very recently, a couple of days ago, we made an investment in a small startup in a small Chinese startup that is focusing now on diamonds for semiconductor applications. I think a very new trend, very hot trend, probably very early. But in 5 to 7 years from now, we definitely will hear more about this.
Mm-hmm. I see the lights in your eyes when you are talking about innovation and talking about early there on the stage already. Despite all of these development, we also see discussions, for example, about electronic cars and, you know, semiconductors, whether politics is and trade policies will play their role, will there be a positive role that they played. So your thoughts on that, because you are pretty much on the chain. Supply chains and the value chains.
Yeah, we are material focused, we are early in the value
sure.
chains. Yeah? And of course, we understand ourselves as technology enabler. Mm. Yeah? And I think it's very important that we all understand what the challenges of also market forces are and how you can really develop market. And today we learned a lot about the new quality productivity forces. I think that's a new, very important perspective on how we can develop our businesses and our industries. And developing it in a sustainable way, yeah, where we work with the resources in a meaningful way, in a responsible way, where we think about how can we use circular economy topics, how can we develop talent, how can we educate people. I think that's something that, according to my understanding, is going in that direction of sustainability and new quality productivity forces.
Including educating the policymakers in different parts of the world?
No, well, we are not here, and it's not my role to lecture on anything. But in the end of the day, I very much believe that we are all together learning how a sustainable world and a more sustainable world and a CO2 neutral world can operate. And that's probably one of the biggest laboratory exercises we all do in the real world to some extent. We are learning as we go. What does it take? How can we do it? How can we benefit from it? How can we manage the consumption of resources? How can we limit the CO2 problems and other issues? Huh? And I think we are making enormous progress, and China has been making enormous progress. When you look at the quality of air, the quality of water, enormous improvements over the last years. Mm-hmm. So that's very encouraging to see that. And I think many parts of the world are looking into that. And we also look into the regulatory world. Mm. If I'm not mistaken, Europe and China have a similar perspective on regulation when it comes to CO2 neutrality. And the regulatory framework is very, very similar now. Very recently, China launched a new policy around this, and this is very encouraging. Yeah? Mm. So by introducing these frameworks, I think we are giving the markets, the industry, a direction. Yeah? And understanding these forces better, understanding what it really takes, will enable us to build our business models around these topics. And from an entrepreneurial perspective, a positive sign.
Mm. You know, the general impression I have by talking to you, you are always keeping a very peaceful mind. You know, even at the very hype of geopolitics, you know, by others, you still remains to be, you know, in such a calm mind, at least in your explanation. I think this is quite a impressive thing, to say the least.
Well, for me as an entrepreneur, the glass is always half full. So there's a lot more to gain. Yeah? There's a lot more to gain, and I focus on the things I can influence, and that's technology, the level of motivation of our people, that's being a trustworthy partner for our partners here in the region and other markets, and that's what we focus on. And after 365 years of corporate history, we have a little patience,
right?
Yeah, and staying focused, I think, is one of the characteristics of our business.
You know, just individually, I'm also curious, because while before talking to you, I try to learn a little bit more about your company and see all these different areas. It's very hard for anyone to be an expert in all these areas. Mm. But as a decision maker, you need to have at least a certain level of sophistication. Mm. So how would you be able to keep yourself up to date about the latest possibilities? Every field we are talking about, having so many different branches of new development now with AI and many other things. So how do you do that on a daily basis?
Yeah, it's good.
I'm just trying to steal some secrets from you. Yeah.
I'm always learning also from you during our contact. So I very much believe that I'm not the decision maker alone. Yeah, I want to encourage people to take decisions first. Mm. Second is I have my ears and I have my eyes. So listening to people, encouraging people to speak up is very important.
Yeah.
Communication is so important. And in the end of the day, it's probably our, as a family-owned business, you have a little bit more time than probably a listed company. Mm-hmm. So we can try out things, we can iterate, we can learn, and then see how things can go faster and how we can accelerate growth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the step-by-step approach, this is, I think, one of the fundamental elements of our corporate mm-hmm. DNA.
And that's all the time we have for today. On behalf of my team, I'm Tian Wei. Bye.